right, we'll continue to watch this story breaking on the south side of Chicago, where at least one police officer has been shot and transported to Stroger Hospital. And we have, and Judy and the whole team up there is going to keep an eye on that. Mm-hmm. Appears to be a shoulder, right? Is that what they were saying, Judy?
Yes. We're hearing the two officers were actually shot and are at Stroger. One was shot in the shoulder. We're not sure about the other.
All right.
Are they saying non-life-threatening for both of them?
They are not saying.
Not saying.
All right. We will we'll keep you abreast of that story. And it happens to be, sort of bizarrely serendipitous, but Joe Ahern is here, CEO of the 100 Club, which obviously is an organization mm-hmm. that is dedicated itself to helping the families of first responders who fall in the line of duty. Obviously not related to this story at all, because we do not know about the condition of either of these officers at this moment. But you're doing a big event. Your big Valor Awards are coming up, and you have brought, and not only do you do Valor Awards for police officers, as I said, first responders, paramedics, and also firefighters, and one of your recipients is with us here, Joe Martinelli from the Chicago Fire Department. And what a story Joe has he ended up receiving the Valor Award. First of all, Joe, thank you very much. Joe Ahern, thank you for being here. Appreciate
this is accusing.
It. Yes. We'll talk a little bit about the awards coming up in just a second here. Now, Joe Martinelli, how many years you've been on the job?
18 years.
18 years as a Chicago firefighter. And now this is a fire. This incident that occurred for which you're going to receive this award. This is a fire a lot of people in Chicago are familiar with. This is that bowling alley fire on Lincoln Avenue. Structure fire. The whole thing went down, smoldered for days afterwards. Right?
It did. It was very sad. It's about four blocks from my house. It was a great place, a great neighborhood place.
Yeah, right.
So I work at Diversey and Pulaski, but I live in the Lincoln Square neighborhood. So it was. We heard the call come in. I was scrambling to try and think of the address, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's my Thursday night special spot."
Oh my gosh!
So, I bet you that happens a lot to firefighters. Ah, hell, damn it! All right, now when you got there, this is interesting because again, this thing got hot, got fast. It was roofing. Was it the cause of roofing or something like that?
I don't know the cause.
I seem to recall it, but I could be wrong. Right. Anyway, the point, and I've been wrong before. Don't ask Joe. All right, now let's you get there. Let's talk a little bit about what happened there. You got to the scene of this fire, and when you arrived, there were already people there. They'd already taken a hose up to the second floor, right?
Right.
And so take it up from there. Pick it up from there.
Well, the first engine and first truck. Well, first four companies showed up, but the first engine and truck had shown up and tried to stretch a line to the second floor to at least investigate to see if they could get a quick knockdown. Mm-hmm. And there was something catastrophic happened, whether it was a smoke explosion or part of the roof came in. But as the pipe man on the engine was stretching his line out into the bowling alley mm-hmm. and flaking, you got to, because otherwise you have spaghetti. He was flaking his line out and everything went.
Explain what that is. That's where you're like, where you're
stretching a line out?
Yeah.
Well, we bring it up dry, and it's if you have a dry bundle of 100 foot of hose, you have to sort of flake it out in an orderly fashion so that when the water does come, it comes all the way through.
So
without
it doesn't get caught,
kinked up or knotted up.
Right,
right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So go ahead.
So, but that was all before we got there, and all of a sudden, there was a we heard en route. I'm on squad two, and on the way in, we heard that they were pulling out and going defensive, and then we heard a mayday alert for a missing firefighter right as we were pulling up.
Oh, wow.
Explain what that's like, Joe, because I can't imagine being a firefighter at a scene, hearing that, knowing you got to go in and rescue one of your own.
There's never a good feeling about knowing there's the call of people trapped always gets your heart racing,
right.
And when you hear a mayday alert, whether you're operating inside the building or you're pulling up to the scene, we do a lot of training for it, but there's nothing like knowing, because the guys who are in there. You might mm-hmm. not know everybody working that day, but
There's a very high likelihood that you do know
you
the
do,
guy.
Yeah.
So as you're going in, and there's very cool technology that, you know, is available to you guys now, to, you know, to be able to find each other, right? At least it is on the TV show. I'm hoping it is for real.
There is. We've the Chicago Fire Departments, we train a lot, mm-hmm. and we have integrated, they call them integrated pass alarms, or it's a for if we get knocked unconscious or remain motionless for 18 seconds, it starts a series of chirping beeps that mm-hmm. It's the most haunting. If you ever see the footage from 9/11,
it is.
Yeah,
FDNY, chirping. All the chirping sounds are the pass alarms going off. So, but we also have the ability to turn that on manually when we're in danger.
Mm-hmm.
So and the other thing that the fire department did, which was a godsend, was everyone has a radio now. So when they're in trouble, mm-hmm. they can get on a radio and you know, radio in a message.
So this thing is a very active fire. It's very smoky. It's impossible to see. You're following the line. I read the incident report, and I always get chills when I read these things, because I cannot believe, I just, you know, like everybody, you put yourself in this situation and you wonder, could you do it? Would you do it?
What would you do?
Right. And so you're following this line. The guy who drew the line up into the top of the bowling alley here, trying to put the fire out in the second floor of this bowling alley, he's missing and he's not been heard from. And there's a problem. You're following that line, hoping he's going to be at the end of the line. Right.
Right.
And so you get there, and you find him. Now, do you see him, or you just have to feel for him?
Yeah, it was a flashing of orange above his head, and black smoke to the ground. And it was so you don't really. It's not like the TV show. You don't see anything in a modern fire. It's black.
Yeah.
So it's I was able to find the line. It goes from the engine through the door,
right?
And I heard water flowing, and I radioed to my boss that I have an activated I hear a pass alarm going, mm-hmm. and I hear water flowing. I'm going to follow the line. So I just I didn't even really use my camera, because everything was just red on the camera.
And the camera would be able to see through the smoke a little bit, like
thermal,
an infrared.
Yeah, the thermal imaging camera.
Yeah,
it will give you shapes and figures, but differences of temperature. So everything just above the door was red.
So you have to be able to read through that too.
Right.
Like, and understand, be able to interpret what you're seeing there, because it doesn't look like something that would be familiar.
If everything's the same temperature, everything's the same color, you get a white screen.
Oh my God.
So,
So now you get to the guy, and at that point, is the hose?
He's still tucked in tight, and he's playing the line above his head, keeping the fire off of us at that time. And
wow, but he was disoriented though, right? Is that why he was not communicating?
It was very loud for whatever reason, whether it was the fire burning, the hose, his pass alarm. It's really tough to communicate, plus you have a mask on,
right?
So you sound like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
But now all the kids know Darth Vader.
Right, yeah, that's right. They know who he is now again.
For a while, they didn't.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Walt Disney Company.
Thank you.
All right, so now you've got him, and you got to lead him back out. Now, did you have other firefighters who were behind you that were able to hold
that
line?
The whole squad and the RIT company, another thing that the fire department has established is we have, they call it a rapid intervention team. So you have an extra truck company assigned to every fire that is there strictly for
this purpose. Yeah.
So they were all up on a stairwell, and it just so happened that I was the first one on the stairwell. That's the only reason I'm getting this award, because there were 20 guys behind me all going to do the same
thing.
Listen,
let me tell you something, firefighter. It doesn't matter. You were the guy. You're the guy who had to do it, and somebody had to do it, and it was you, and that's why you deserve this, to receive this honor.
We talked earlier. I talked with Joe a lot, but it's wonderful to be recognized, but it's sort of embarrassing. We're just doing our job, and that's what we do. But
I love when these guys are humble.
I know, I do too.
Joe, Aaron, we never see that in our business. Guys who are humble don't want to accept an award.
I did it. It was all me.
I was saying, bro, that Joe reminds me so much of you, his humility.
Oh, Ouch.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Spitting image of you.
Yeah. Bro. Yeah, when I received the awards, I would like to not thank the little people because it was all me. All right. This is just an amazing story. And when you stop and you think about, you know, we see this stuff in movies or, you know, with the exception of the stuff about 9/11. You know, most fire things are works of fiction. And so you think, all right, well, these are actors and special effects and all that. But that's what these guys do every day. Right. I mean, you're running into the burning building when everybody else is running, including the rats. Right. Isn't that that's one of those firefighterisms. Right. That, you know,
when you first
you see the rats and the bugs running out of a burning building, and you think, I'm going in there.
Yeah.
What have I done to myself to be in this job?
And by the way, this is his second Valor Award.
Oh, wow.
Second.
Wow.
That's really extraordinary.
Did you save someone else?
Many years ago, yeah.
A civilian?
A civilian, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gosh, so. God bless you. Wow. Thank you
for
what you're doing.
We're going to have to name something after you. I don't know quite what to do yet.
That's bad mojo.
Bad mojo.
Well, later. We'll do it later. We'll do it much later. 50 years
95.
From now, Joe. Yeah, well, once you retire.
Joe Street.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
yeah.
Ro, put this in the context of the fact that we lost 3 firefighters since last December. And then Dan Capuano, who had 2 sons and a daughter, lost his life just at the beginning of the year. And that was the same firehouse as Corey Ankeman Stringer, who died in the fire December of 2010. So, and then Captain Herbie Johnson and Walter Patman in 2012, who lost their life. So,
and these are all folks at the 100 Club, the families of whom the 100 Club supports and helps with college tuition and other kinds of other support.
Exactly. We have 21 kids in college right now. They're all sons and daughters of policemen and firemen who paid the ultimate sacrifice. And we have 67 kids that are coming up that will be eligible to go to college. And the 100 Club is there to provide college education for them. And thank you for giving us the chance to talk about
Joe,
it, because it's so important that
we
continue to do this kind of service.
And I think that people also need to understand, with all the stuff that's going slightly sideways in the city of Chicago, what really goes on. And I want to, just, you know, this is going to sound a little strange, but it is true. With the violence that's happening in Chicago, and now we have at least one, maybe two, Chicago police officers who've been shot on the south side of Chicago today, that thank God for the Chicago Fire Department, because the murder rate in the city, the only reason the murder rate in the city is as low as it is in large measure to the incredible diligence and speed and training of Chicago firefighter paramedics who get to those scenes and save those lives. You know, and in some cases, they're saving the lives of the bad guys. It doesn't matter to them.
Yeah,
it's a human being, and they got to go do their job.
Couldn't agree with you more, Ro. And the fact that we have such great hospitals here that are saving lives, it would have been double the number of people that have been killed just since January.
Yeah,
if we didn't have...
There's over 1,000 people shot since January. I mean, it's insane what's going on here. So, Firefighter, thank you so much for being here, and congratulations.
Thank you.
And
well-deserved.
It's an honor to meet you, and it's an honor to have you on the show.
The 100 Club, I'd just like to say, they've always had our back for how long, Joe, now?
50 years.
50 years they've been watching over us who sometimes, unfortunately,
we're
need
watching
it.
Over us.
Right, exactly. Yeah, someone's got to help the people we're helping, and that's exactly what the 100 Club does. And thank you so much, Joe, for doing this. And again, it's the Valor Awards, which are being held this week. And if you want to make a donation to the 100 Club, just in honor of stories like this and remembering those who are falling and trying to help those kids, how do you do it?
Go to 100clubchicago.org, and any donation, big or small, we'd really love to have your support. And if you can become a member, you'll really feel like you've been part of something special, honoring all these brave men and women to protect all of us.
100 is 100clubchicago.org.
Exactly.
All right. Gentlemen, my two Joes, thank you for being here.
thank you both.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Anna.